I invite you to turn with me, if you have your scriptures, to Luke 5. We find an Easter message at the beginning of Christ's ministry. When you get to Luke 5, we're in the 12th verse. And we're going to move around through this chapter this morning and pull in a couple of other things that bring forth the message this morning. Luke 5:12 reads, "And it came to pass, when he," that's Jesus, "was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much more went their fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." I hope this morning, and it is my prayer, that before the message is over, that you, as this man with leprosy, would say the same thing. Lord, if you're willing, you can do this for me. Whatever it is. I'm not here to tell you what's wrong. I'm not here to tell you what's right in your life. Not here to do any of that. I'm here to share with you that God is willing to move in your life. And in ways that will change you, bless you, strengthen you, and encourage you. But there's more to it than that. And in this fifth chapter, there are some things that happen that this very morning really have touched my heart. And I pray that same touch comes upon your heart as well. Before we get into the message, though, would you pause with me for a word of prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, your word, your touch, your blessing. If there's anyone within the sound of my voice that can say, I don't need that, Heavenly Father, would you do a work to soften a hard heart? And if there's someone who's a little less resistant, or someone who's very willing to receive your blessing, Heavenly Father, step in now. The door that's open, enter in fully. Holy Spirit, read us now, that the words here and the blessing and the strength and the encouragement would be yours. Heavenly Father, send forth your word now. Let me step out of the way. And you speak your truth for us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your life. And the joy that we experience because Christ has risen, may that joy come alive in our hearts in new ways today. Heavenly Father, for all these things and for all your purposes for us right now, I ask that the words in my mouth, the meditations in our hearts, and the thoughts in our minds would be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. Tucked in Luke chapter 5, this little passage, kind of inauspicious the way it is there. And I thought, you know, Lord, why are you asking me to talk about a man who would have simply asked if you were willing? Do we make the assumption that God is willing, all we have to do is ask? Or do we make the assumption that God loves everybody, surely He loves me, He won't do anything against me? Do we make assumptions like these? Do we make assumption that as long as God keeps calling me, that God's always going to call me, He's always going to bless me and always strengthen me? Or do we believe that God has a sense of responsibility that He has on our lives for our life? That we have some part in our response to God? Are we just people God acts upon and we don't have a choice? Or does He give us a word and ask us to grow and mature? To put it to work? To till the soil of our lives with it? Or do we just say, God, You do the work, You heal me, You do all this? Sometimes we pray for a healing or a blessing and God doesn't do anything. And He's willing. We miss that sometimes. Sometimes you say, God, You must not really care, but He's willing. But some reason or another, when God asks us to take part, we don't. We think God should do all the work, He's the great Creator, and we sit idly by, watching God do the work. But sometimes God doesn't act until He sees us responding to what we believe He's going to do. Now let me say that in another way, in case you didn't catch that. Sometimes God waits for us to respond to the request we've made of Him. For example, if you ask God, God, I would like a new job. And we think they're going to beat my door down because I've asked God to get me a new job. Or do we go out and put out interviews and resumes? Do we have a responsibility in our life? We ask God, but we still got to do some legwork. And I'm not saying that our legwork is what gets us the job. But if we stay where we are and God is moving over there, and God knows if we just move a little, we'll get into the blessing that's over here. You know what I mean? And if we get into the blessing that's over here, then God can bless us. But God says, as long as you're in this place in your life, right here, I can't bless you. Because I need you in a different place. But we tell God, if you don't do it right here, right now, I'm not going to listen, I'm not going to respond, I'm just going to be mad at you and trust that you don't care. But God says always, I am willing. In this story, a man comes with leprosy to Jesus. Well, why is that significant? Because Jesus didn't look for him. The man, I'm sure, had prayed to God for healing several times, and here comes his agent of healing, Jesus, within a short distance from his house. He could be praying, if you really want me healed, have him come to my house. He's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. If you have faith that God will heal you, restore you, or provide you a blessing in a certain part of your life, you need to get up and go over there. God can't bless you over there while you're here. Does that make sense? God, I'd really like to have a big crop this year, the farmer might pray. I'd love it. Lord says, you got to plant some seed. Got to work that ground. I might water it for you and I'll give you the growth and the increase, but you got to do something. You can't just sit there and wait for opportunistic blessings. You ever heard them called that? Opportunistic blessings, where you kind of get a blessing that you didn't ask for. Those are nice. Those opportunistic blessings are nice, but if you're asking God to bless your harvest, it has to be your sowing as well. In other words, we have a measure of faith that God can do what He said He's going to do. This man with leprosy, it says, he comes to Jesus. He sees Jesus, falls on his face and says, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Two things had to happen for that to happen. And that's the crux of what the Lord has put on my heart this morning. The first thing is the man had to know Jesus could do that. That Jesus could, if he were willing. The second thing, and this is the one where we get stuck. The second thing is we have to realize we actually need Jesus. That we actually have some sickness or a problem that we need to take to Him. And say, "Listen, Lord, if you're willing, I've got a problem I can't fix." Doesn't humility find favor in the eyes of the Lord? Doesn't God resist the proud but grant grace to the humble? Sure He does. He needs to know that you know He's the one who's healing you. It isn't because you prayed that you're a righteous person that God answered your prayer, but because He's a righteous God. It's not about you, it's about Him. That He's the one who heals you, restores you, renews you, strengthens you. And this man comes, and all he does is says, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." There is no hesitation to say, "Maybe you can." He says, "All you have to do is be willing. And you..." What? "Can make me clean." Anybody ever read Max Lucado? Max Lucado is a very good author. Had an honor to hear him speak a couple of times. And one day he was addressing a conference of men that I was at. And he talked about how he and his boy went fishing one day. And God used an object lesson there. And he said to his son, "Son, what are we doing?" He says, "We're catching fish." He says, "All right. Well, who's going to clean them?" And the boy says, "Dad, I'm not." And the dad says, "Why not?" And the boy says, "Well, it's nasty, yucky. I've seen other people do it. And then I just can't do that. And, you know, I'm not qualified." "I'm not qualified, Dad." And dad says, "That's all right, son. You catch them. I'll clean." What God says to us is the same thing. Is He finds us, brings us in, and we don't clean ourselves. We're not qualified. "Father, you clean me. You got me. You caught me. Clean me. Make me presentable. Make me a worthy vessel for your honor." I like that story, because it makes me think about the right relationship that we ought to have with Jesus Christ. And that is that He is bringing us to the Heavenly Father, but what He's going to do is give us the Holy Spirit. John 14 talks about that I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Why? To clean you up inside. For some of us, we think that's a scary proposition. Holy Spirit? Well, that means I'm going to be a freak. I'm going to be weird. I'm going to be like them folks over there in that one church and one folks that act crazy. It's not what it means. The Holy Spirit's job is like a scrub brush on your heart and on your life. And He wants to clean you up so He can present you blameless and spotless. You're already forgiven, But you still got the if you will, the residue of the sin, the memory. And it says the Holy Spirit, when you confess, that He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Cleanse. How many times you ever put wash machine stuff in the wash machine to wash clothes and never turned it on? It doesn't do a good job unless you start agitating it a little bit. You know that thing in the middle of the wash machine, what it's called? An agitator. What the Holy Spirit's job is to agitate that junk in you so it comes up to the surface and can be washed off. Kind of like a baptism. But the Holy Spirit's job is to get you agitated inside so that sin stuff starts breaking loose in those tendencies and bad behaviors. You know, I can't do that agitation thing real well, but y'all maybe can. We got a fridge there. I think it goes up and down. Like, I'm not sure. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? It's like the twist. You know? That old dance from the 60s. And I do remember that dance. I've seen a TV show about it. But what I'm trying to say is God is trying to clean us up from the inside out. And He's got to agitate the dirt out that we don't want to admit we have. God, You've forgiven me. Just let me go forward and not think about that stuff anymore. And God says, I'm sorry, but You still have the residue. And Jesus says, I'm going to give You the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to make you spotless inside. And that's good stuff. But the problem is we've hung on to that and we got a real tight grip on it. Because it's comfortable. We're real comfortable holding on to the junk. Some of us have a foot locker. What we might say is we have some junk in our trunk, in our heart. And God wants to get rid of that. God wants to get rid of it so your very core nature is love. And you might say, well, I'm a loving person. I'm not saying you're not. What I'm saying is that parts of you are holding on to that which will defeat you and allow the enemy a foothold back in. So that why? Not so you'll fall away, but so that you'll be unproductive. That's worse, isn't it? Let me tell you, one thing that really, really touched me and really struggled with a few weeks ago when I went and saw JG was that he didn't want to be unproductive anymore. He doesn't like being unproductive. He always likes to do stuff. I understand that. I remember a time back in the late 80s ministering in Chicago when I got a call to a house a couple blocks from the church where a 74-year-old man had put a gun to his mouth and shot himself. And the families all tore up, and I was asking why he did it. And they said because he didn't want to be a burden on people. He didn't want to be unproductive anymore. And he didn't want to bring people down. Did you know that a lot of people feel that way? Because they're not productive? And Jesus Christ is trying to clean out the stuff inside us that makes us unproductive. So that we'll know that we matter in God's kingdom. So that we'll know that we matter in other people's lives. So we'll know that we make a difference. Before this passage, and this is why this is interesting, and I hope you follow this logic with me. The first thing that happens is Jesus sees a couple of ships standing and the fishermen are washing their nets. And Jesus tells a man named Simon, go out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon says, we've worked all night. We got nothing. Might not be able to feed my family. Might not be able to eat or have a place to live if I don't catch anything. And I've caught nothing all night, no fish. And he says, but nonetheless, because you said so, we've already cleaned our nets. We'll launch back out into the deep and we'll drop our nets into the water. When they do, They get so many fish that their nets almost break. It even says that their net did break. And they had other people come. And they filled up both ships with fish so that both ships began to sink. Now, it's not the miraculous catch of fish that I want to point your attention to, but that when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and says, "Depart from me, I am a sinful man." When you got junk inside of you, you don't feel like God can bless you. But when God cleans you out, you have a testimony to say, "You know, for a long time I used to live like this, and I really thought it was okay to harbor this stuff, but then God came and showed me this truth, and He showed it and confirmed it with His Word. And when He confirmed it, all of a sudden I got blessed. And it's no longer there. And I'm free. Not just free from sin and death, but free from the tendency to not follow His promise and the blessing." And so Jesus says, "I'm a sinful man." And they were astonished. And all these folks are amazed. And Jesus says to them, "Fear not, from henceforth you're going to catch men." There's a harvest. He says, "Don't be afraid. You have a higher call in your life." And it says this, when they got back to land, they left all that catch. Their nets, their boats, their livelihood, and followed Jesus. The next thing that happens, this man is healed. That miracle happens. The next thing that happens is Jesus is teaching, and some men bring to him a man in a bed, and they drop it through the ceiling. Remember that? And they cut a hole in the roof, and Jesus says, "What great faith. Your sins are forgiven. Go home now." And they argue with him. He says, "Well, what's better? Should I say your sins are forgiven or pick up your mat and walk? Same difference. You're healed." And they started arguing with him. And finally Jesus said this, "Those who are well don't need a doctor. Only those who are sick." Let me share this thought with you that really challenged me a long time ago. And that is this, that if you harbor sin, which will kill you, or the residue of it in your heart, which can kill you, you might be considered a little bit sick. Why would I want to harbor a cancer of sin? Why would I want to keep that? There is no sense in that. Insanity is keeping sin and saying it's okay. It's no big deal. There's another thing that happened. On that same day, I believe, he called Levi and he blessed him. If you look in another passage where it talks about this, there's a man with a withered hand. And he's standing in the temple with Jesus. It's the same day. He's got a withered hand. It's all gnarled up. And Jesus looks at the man with the withered hand. And the man asks him if he'd heal him. He's in the temple. And Jesus looks at the man and says, "Stretch out your hand." Now the scribes and Pharisees are mad because he's going to heal him on the Sabbath. And Jesus says, think of it like this. The man's been sick a long time. Think of it. What better day? What better time than today? God's day for this man to be set free. Here's why I share that. Because you have the calling of the disciples. You have a man who knows he's sick asking for help. You have another man lowered through the roof on the faith of his friends. Not on his faith, but on the faith of friends. And he's healed. You have Jesus saying that those who are sick are the ones that need a doctor. And then you have a man who on the Lord's Day, on that Sunday, Sabbath day, actually it was a Saturday, but for us, on a Sunday, what better day than today, Easter Sunday, to be healed, to be restored, to be renewed? Let me tell you why this message touches my heart. Because until we can become honest with God and ourselves about the pains in our lives, our weaknesses, our areas of struggle, we can't ask Him to help with them. We can say, Lord, you know, fix my marriage. Fix my family. But that isn't what God's asking us to do. What He's asking us to do is to open up to our part in the problem. And ask God's solution to be revealed to us. We might say, well, I've done all I can. I've done everything, like that woman with issue of blood. I've tried for years. And there's nothing left but Jesus to try. Maybe you've been struggling with an issue in your life. But I have to share with you that what Christ says is on Easter Sunday I rose up from the dead. Right? He rose up from the dead on Easter Sunday. 2,000 almost years ago. What that tells me is it works. That if the same power that's at work raising Him from the dead can be at work in me, what can't He do? What changes can't He make? If He's willing, and He says He's willing to heal me, if He's willing to reach down into the depths of anxiety, fear, depression, frustration, whatever I have, and heal it, if I would just come to Him with it, He would expose the root of the sickness and destroy it. Sin was a big problem. He said, it was such a big problem, I was willing to die to get rid of it for you. And so on the cross, He takes sin out of the equation, but we still have a sinful nature. And we think, well, if I tell the Lord, you know, to forgive me and change me, people are going to think that there's something wrong with me. Well, there is. You're sick. You were born a human being. And if you can't understand that, you need Jesus. I don't know how to say it any other way. Without Jesus, you stay sick. The scribes and Pharisees didn't think they needed Jesus, and they stayed sick. So sick that they murdered Him. I'm so thankful that God has called me to come before Him boldly to find mercy and help in the time of need. And He's done the same for you. Shame, guilt, whatever it is, whatever it takes to get you to His throne. I'm thankful for all the messengers that God uses. Anger, bitterness, hardness of heart, loss of friendship, loss of wife, whatever it takes to get you humble before Him. It says in Scripture that one day every knee will bow and confess it. Yeah, that's the one. He's the Lord. He is who He said He was. If He says He's willing, and He did, and He followed it up with the resurrection, Everything else he's promised to you can happen. And it will. My only question for you this morning is, will you let him? Will you let him in your heart and life deep enough to expose to you the parts that he needs to work on? I don't see anybody in here with leprosy. So that means we have something a little more hidden. God always can do something for us. He can always set us free from a deeper chain, from a burden, a sorrow, a bad behavioral pattern, a hidden sin life, anything. But the first step is to say, Lord, if you're willing, I need it. I need it. Can you do that? Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, how well and how wonderful you are. You know us already. You know our hearts, you know our lives, you know our thoughts, we think. And I'm so thankful for that because it means you know how to make corrections if we would just surrender. Heavenly Father, we're tired of fighting this morning. We're ready for your redemption to draw nigh. Thank you, Jesus, that you're so willing. Heavenly Father, create in us a clean heart. And teach our lips to utter your praises from a heart that is pure and spotless, whiter than snow. Heavenly Father, thank you for forgiving us. Now do the deeper work of cleansing, restoring, and healing us, that we would have your mind and your heart. Show us by looking in your mirror how you see us. And draw us close to you. And remind us that you see us in love, with hope, encouragement, and blessing. Amen.